Stories on IPM almost always start as emails. Not even big ones, often just a sentence.
1 year after being arrested for giving my daughter medication on the advice of a private doctor, I'm still on police bail, under conditions that prevent me from giving my children so much as a cough sweet without their GP's approval. I have never been charged with an offence.
We got that last year. Then, recently, an update.
The decision is that there should be no further action. As I'm sure you can imagine, I'm so pleased and relieved that this is now at an end.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, there you are.
I am indeed. Nice to be talking to you. Yeah.
Have you got a glass of water or something?
Yeah, I've got some coffee, thank you.
Perfect. We'll get into the whys and wherefores in a minute, but what was it like being arrested?
More upsetting than I'd expected, to be honest. I guess I wasn't prepared for the sort of lack of humanity in it. I wasn't prepared to have my handbag searched and the money in it counted and everything accounted for, my watch taken away from me. That was disconcerting. And then there were particular...
This all started because of a medical condition she and her daughter shared.
We both have an underactive thyroid. It can manifest itself differently in different people. But essentially it means that things are on a go slow, so a person might typically feel tired, be sluggish digestive system, feel cold, tend to put on weight, have difficulty concentrating, memory problems, that kind of thing.
So when did you discover that your daughter also had this medical issue?
I took her to the doctor when she was 4 because she just seemed to be away with the fairies and couldn't concentrate. And I said, I think she is showing signs of having an underactive thyroid. I wasn't listened to, and I took her back to the doctor when she was 8 and specifically asked for a thyroid function test. The NHS approach to treating thyroid dysfunction is quite narrow, so according to their test, she was absolutely fine.
But you knew she wasn't?
Yes, I knew she wasn't. So my own problem wasn't diagnosed until I was in my 40s. I'd suffered with ill health all of my life and repeatedly tried to get answers, so basically told it was all in my mind. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to see a private doctor when I was in my early 40s, and that was how I discovered that there are other tests that can be used to diagnose thyroid problems that the NHS don't use.
So if you weren't happy with how your daughter was being treated, what did you do?
Because of my own experience, I didn't pursue it with her GP, and so I took her to a private doctor who I knew specialised in this kind of problem. And the doctor said, yes, you know, she displays all the symptoms. I recommend that you give her this treatment, which was the thyroid hormone.
Is this a medication that if I had this issue and went to my NHS doctor, they would give me?
They are able to. So it isn't licensed in the UK, but that doesn't mean to say that doctors can't prescribe it. They can prescribe it at their own discretion if they think it's necessary. The issue was that the doctor that I took her to see was not registered with the General Medical Council and so was not allowed to prescribe this medication in the UK, which meant that I had to buy it over the internet.
Did any of that give you pause for worry?
No, it didn't at the time. With hindsight, I can see that perhaps it should have done. But as I say, my own experience with the NHS had not been great, and I'm somebody who likes to understand the causes of things and understand how things work. So, you know, I'd read his book, I'd understood the science, it all stacked up. It seemed like a much more thorough approach to me.
So you bought this unlicensed drug online, your daughter started taking it, what happened?
She improved. She definitely improved. She said she felt better. The improvement was noticeable, actually. So I was happy.
When did things become complicated?
Things became complicated when she reached puberty. Thyroid hormone can interact with other hormones in the body, and obviously the body's systems at that age are growing more complex. And it became apparent to me that the medication wasn't as effective as it had been initially. And I made an appointment to see a private doctor who was registered with the General Medical Council. Before I had a chance to take her to that doctor, that's when I was arrested.
How did the police become involved?
So my daughter had been having some problems at school, and something happened at the beginning of that school year. I'm still not sure what it was, but it really upset her. I'd spoken to the student support people at school and said, can she have some counselling? They'd spoken to her and said yes, and we'd like her to have an initial conversation with CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. And I don't know exactly how it came about, whether they asked her if she was on any medication or what, but that's how it came out that I'd been giving her this thyroid medication. And they obviously felt that there was a safeguarding concern. A couple of weeks later, I had a phone call from a police officer saying, as a result of this, I would be asked to report to the police station at a certain date and time, and that when I arrived there, I would be arrested.
What was the charge?
The charge was administering noxious substances with intent to do harm.
That's quite an accusation to level at a parent.
Yes. You do start to doubt yourself and your own parenting skills, your own judgment, whether you're actually the right person to be looking after your children.
How seriously did you take those doubts?
Quite seriously.
So how did things pan out?
It took a long time. About 3 months after I was arrested, Children's Services decided that there was a risk relating to my daughters and called the Child Protection Conference. They were put on a child protection plan for 3 months. Around about that time, I took my daughter to see this private doctor that I'd arranged for her to see, and she was prescribed exactly the same medication that I had given her before. And after that, Children's Services decided that they really had no concerns about my care of the children, and so they were taken off the child protection plan. But I was kept on police bail for 20 months until July this year.
20?
20 months, yeah. And the bail conditions that were imposed on me were incredibly stringent.
Such as what?
So basically, I wasn't allowed to give them any medication or supplements unless authorised or prescribed by a general medical council or registered doctor. Any issuing of medication or supplements to be checked, monitored and verified by a GMC registered doctor. Their NHS GP to be made aware of all medication or supplements prescribed or recommended to them. And evidence of all this to be submitted to Children's Services before any medication or supplements being commenced. Well, if you take that to its logical conclusion, that means that I wasn't able to give them paracetamol or cough medicine without consulting their GP and then telling social services before I gave them anything.
Why did it take 20 months for you to be released from police bail? What was the change?
I wish I knew why it took so long. I still don't understand why it took so long. It was passed to the Crown Prosecution Service at some stage. Not for a decision on whether to charge me, but for advice on how to proceed. So I'm not entirely sure what really happened, but it certainly took a very long time.
How is your daughter throughout all of this?
Largely all right. Neither of my daughters know that I was arrested. I was very concerned about what it would do to my elder daughter's state of mind if she were to find out. They were quite distressed at having to talk to Children's Services. They hated it. She blamed herself for that, and I thought if she knew I had been arrested and everything that I went through and started blaming herself for that as well, that could be really, really damaging for her. I just really didn't want that to happen.
Would you do it again?
That's a tricky one. I've suffered so much as a result of what's happened. The level of stress I've been under for the last 20 months has been horrendous. Initially, I had real difficulty sleeping. I had difficulty eating. At work, I was just going through the motions. Having bail imposed for 2 months and then 3 months, and that repeating itself over nearly 2 years, made it very difficult for me to think ahead because I couldn't ever see beyond the next couple of months and wondering what was going to happen. And that affected my life as well. I suddenly found that I wasn't planning holidays with the children because I didn't know where I'd be 2 or 3 months from any given time. Over the last week, I've suddenly found myself laughing at things in a really wholehearted way and just realised I haven't laughed properly for about 2 years.
Looking back on all of this, is there one point which you could fault yourself on?
If there's anything I'd criticise myself for, it's naivety.
Naive about what?
I suppose not really realising that just because somebody is a qualified doctor, the fact that they're not registered with the General Medical Council might be seen as suspicious. I think it's not clear, actually, what the law is. Buying the medication is not illegal. I don't believe it's illegal to take your child to a doctor who's not registered with the General Medical Council. If it is, then surely all parents ought to be told that. I mean, it wasn't as if I was taking her to some, you know, backstreet witch doctor and giving her weird concoctions, you know. And are there parents out there who are seeing alternative therapists and even practitioners who are tied to one particular culture who are not registered with the GMC? You know, why was what I doing more harmful than that kind of scenario? Like I say, I didn't have many options at the time. It was either do that or do nothing. Personally, I'd rather have done something for her.
How's everything with your daughter now?
I can't afford to keep taking her to the private doctor that we saw, so she's currently without treatment. She's managing quite well, but I think she could be better.
Do you worry?
Of course I do. I know how difficult this can be to live with, you know, day in, day out, just having to drag yourself around everywhere. And it's not just tiredness, it's everything that goes with that. It's not having the energy to get motivated about things. If she had the right support, she would do better. So I'm just supporting her in every way that I can at the moment.
Our listener, she emailed us at ipm@bbc.co.uk. You're more than welcome to do the same anytime you like. We spoke to the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency about this, the people who license drugs. And they say whilst it's not illegal for people to buy unlicensed medicine for personal use, including people in your immediate household, they recommend only taking medicines prescribed by your GP. That whole story started with a one-sentence email from that listener, and you can send us something, an insight into what's happening in your world, ipm@bbc.co.uk. And who knows, Kirsty Walk off of Newsnight might read it out as part of our Your News Bulletin.
We've been so impressed this week with how well our adopted 7-year-old son has taken the news that he has 6 adult half-siblings. I've just had a game of Conkers with 2 friends. We are all in our 80s. I'm waiting in A&E Torby with my mother in a corridor just because there is no social care available to support her after being discharged from hospital yesterday. The morning after my 72nd birthday, the female bus driver made eyes at me. I've had my copper coil removed. It made me depressed, anemic, and slightly psychotic for 2 years. Now it's out, I feel normal again. I searched the name of a long-standing friend from New York online, as I hadn't heard from him for 6 months, and found his obituary. No one had told me he died. Age 32, I have tried to commit suicide, been arrested, spent 12 hours in custody, lost my job, applied for universal credit, all in a week. I'm starting all over again. Having had his ear syringed, my dear husband, aged 102, can hear again. I discovered on holiday recently that I've reached the age where whatever pair of glasses you've got on, they're the wrong ones. After a lifetime of looking for him, next month I am flying out to meet my brother for the first time.
Sentences of news sent to ipm@bbc.co.uk. You can send yours anytime you like. But what is Kirsty Walk's news?
My news is that I fell in love with Amsterdam all over again at the weekend.
Which bit?
The Single Canal.
Why?
Because Single is not like the Prinsengracht, which is terribly busy, and it's more characterful even than the Herengracht.
You heard it here first.